Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Welcome to the show. It's Mick Dagger here.
And the General.
How are you guys doing out there? Hope you've had fun checking out and perusing all the episodes of Beer Army Engaged. We sure have had fun creating them for you. Right, D or G?
D. DG, whatever, BC, AD. Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun listening to some of the feedback that we've been getting, both constructive and deconstructive.
Well, you got to take the good with the bad. You know that.
I'll take any kind of criticism we can get at this point.
Well then, hey, don't forget, for those of you that say you wanted an awesome Beer Army t-shirt, I really encourage you to check out wearyourbeer.com.
Wear your beer.
I say that is these guys are awesome. They've teamed up with us and you can get 20% off your purchase if you use the promo code Beer Army. So I really encourage you to do that. Check them out and prepare yourself for an awesome show today. We've got a lot shaking. Later in the episode, we're going to have stuff ranging from a man getting stares for his giant ball, potatoes used as contraception, and a bunch of other stuff. We've got a great hero story you got for us, Dustin.
Yes, we do. Awesome. Yeah, and then, of course, well, thank God for the Carolina Panthers. Must have went up to Greenville to get lessons because they did pull off the win today.
They consulted with Ruff.
They did. If you're a fan of football, it was a good game between them and the Chicago Bears. But if you're a Carolina Panther fan, yeah, I was about ready to lose my junk.
You were.
And then of course, I roll over to see I'm a fan of the racing, of the NASCAR type.
The racing.
And
I'm a fan of the racing.
My driver, Casey Kane, as he was marching up into the top five or whatever, and then decides to put it in the frickin' wall with like 20-something laps to go. And I've been a fan of his since he came into the sport in 2004, and just he's been thoroughly pissing me off ever since. So,
I just have to throw this out there. Being as you're a fan of the racing. What are your thoughts on this whole Tony Stewart mess? He finally spoke up, I think it was last week, in regard to that whole incident. It's a weird situation. It's just weird.
I have a lot of respect for Tony Stewart because that guy races like a lot. He's kind of like Kyle Busch, where always, you know, doing dirt tracks still, doing all kinds of different. I mean, those guys, like, I guarantee you, if there was a bar stool with motors and there was some league that races bar stools they would do it. And they're true racers. I think
can we make that happen?
Yeah. I'm sure as they grew up as kids, like anything, you know, they would race anything.
Yeah.
Skateboards, bicycles, whatever. And so, yeah, I don't know. That was a pretty crazy thing. I'm trying to still hold on to comment here, see how it all kind of flushes out or whatever, because.
Well, there's just a lot of stuff that's just, it's been interesting with that whole thing, the autopsy coming back from that kid that was killed, that he had marijuana in his system, and it's regardless, there's no good outcome from this.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, somebody dying is never a good thing.
No.
I think you have to be out of your freaking mind to get out of your safety harness with roll cage on an active racetrack, period.
Well, they're not supposed to. Drivers aren't supposed to.
I don't think there's anything that can be good that comes out of that. That's like, oh, demolition derby. Oh, my car got smashed up. Let me get out or something. No, that's not a good time to do that. So,
well, you know. I'm just curious. I guess you're a fan of the racing.
But we also, over this weekend or yesterday, we had the Great American Beer Festival results released
for 2014. The medals, just were announced.
I do want to get a shout out to a couple of North Carolina breweries for meddling. Pishkot Brewing Company, Wicked Weed, and Duck Rabbit. Later taking two medals just up the road from us.
Yeah, Duck Rabbit's out of Farmville.
Correct.
Pishkot's out of...
Yeah, out by Asheville, but on the eastern side of Asheville.
And the third one.
Wicked Weed's in Asheville.
So. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so, you know, great for Paul and company to bring home two medals just up the road. He got it for his Duck Rabbit Marzen, which took a silver medal, and then...
We had that...
And the Schwartz beer took a bronze medal. So congratulations to him. And as every single year, it seems like they keep just making more records or, you know, blowing through it. This year's GABF saw its biggest panel of judges ever with 222 beer experts from 10 countries evaluating over 5,500 entries.
That's a lot of drinking.
Yeah, we're talking 90 beer categories covering 145 different beer styles. And the total was 1,309 breweries hailing from 50 states plus the D.C. And then there was four breweries that are tied for the most medals won with three medals each. And guess who one of them is? Left Hand Brewing Company.
Out of my hometown.
So
brewed on the banks of the mighty St. Vrain.
And if you're just curious to know what the top states were by ratio, New Jersey is 19% with 16 entries and three medals. Alaska, 13% with 16 entries and two medals. They tied with the District of Columbia, which had 13% with eight entries and one medal. And then New Mexico with 10% with 84 entries and eight medals. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
New Jersey, topping that list with 19%.
Somewhere off the turnpike.
No, you mentioned Duck Rabbit with that Marzan style. Mm-hmm. It was two episodes ago. We had that awesome aviator October Beast.
Yes.
Which was a Marzan style.
Correct.
Oktoberfest style beer.
That is correct.
And let's remind everybody what that Marzan style is again.
Yeah, basically it's like a spring beer that's brewed in March and then it's stored in the caves. You know, traditional Bavaria for Oktoberfest type stuff. So Marzen's like German for like March beer, and they would brew it and then it was stored in those and, you know, let it lager throughout those whole.
So it is aged to an extent?
It's not aged
like a sour or anything.
It's just because when you lager beer, there's a longer process to creating ales and lagers. So
okay.
I don't think we want to get into that on during this episode as far as all the details, the difference between ales and lagers, but lagers always take a lot longer. So like your Bud Miller Coors, those are all lager style beers, but they're heavily industrialized versions of lagers, whereas I guarantee the stuff that Paul's making is probably a little bit longer, a true Marzen
yeah,
probably
style.
A little bit longer fermentation process or whatever.
That's awesome. No, well, I appreciate you sharing that. And we're sipping on a delicious brew right now.
Yes, we are. We got ourselves some Foothills from Foothills Brewing Company. They're Cottonwood Pumpkin, and since you know I'm a fan of the pumpkin, and we're probably gonna have to go maybe one, maybe two more episodes before we get out of this because I love this time of year.
Can I change your nickname? Can I call you Pumpkin?
Pumpkin. No.
Come on.
No.
Come on, Pumpkin.
No.
Oh, come on, Pumpkin.
So
Pumpkin, come on.
For those that, what do you think of this beer?
I like it. I like it a lot.
I think it's a little bit more spicier, I think, than what we had last week.
It does have a little more of that cloves and spice in it.
It does. It does. Actually, they use organic cinnamon, nutmeg, cloves, and ginger. And it's brewed with real pumpkin. And I think that's really important because a lot of breweries, or not a lot, but some breweries won't use, they'll use an extract or something like that. And the level of complication of brewing with real ingredients, you know, your brewing chops, you know, needs to go up instead of just extracting some liquid.
Right, right.
Injecting some liquid in there or some essence or whatever the heck you want to call it. So,
well, it might be the ginger I'm tasting more so than the cloves.
The thing that I think is interesting about this beer compared to what we had last week
is
that was a wheat-based type ale, whereas this is not. And the finish on this is a lot drier.
Mm-hmm.
And so the body is less and it's not as wet. I guess if that makes sense. I don't even think that makes sense, but
it's a quick drink.
Yeah, it's just not as full body. Well, that one was more medium body. I would say this is lower body on it, so the mouthfeel. And then it finishes off not very, very dry, but a lot drier than what we had for Pumpkinhead out of Shipyard last week.
Yeah,
so.
Not at all like a wheat beer, not at all. But it's really good. You can drink it really fast.
And so this is their Cottonwood Pumpkin Spiced Ale. It's only available from September to December. For those that don't know, Foothills Brewing is located in Winston-Salem, North Kakalaki.
Yeah. Can I thank them for waiting till September to release a pumpkin beer?
Yes.
Rather than mid-August or early August like a lot of others do? No. I don't understand that. I mean, I was walking in the store the other day, and they already have Christmas sections.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It's not even Halloween yet.
No, I know.
It used to be Halloween had to pass before you even thought about Christmas. And then those were early stores that were doing.
Well, the nice thing is you have the option to go trick-or-treating at Santa Claus because they have all that crap up. But Foothills, I think,
so that's how Santa gets all the gifts.
Is an awesome North Carolina brewery. If you haven't had the opportunity to try them, Jamie Bartholomew, he's their brewmaster and president. I've met him multiple times. A really great, soft-spoken, cool, laid-back type guy.
Great beers out of Foothills.
He is a co-owner with Matt Mastin, and then Jamie, his history was he was a home brewer since the early 90s. He started out by helping a friend and volunteering at Blind Man Ales in Athens, Georgia. Then in 1996, he got a job at Vista Brewing in Columbia, South Carolina. And then 3 years later, landed a job at Old Hickory Brewery in Hickory, North Carolina. And then on to Blue Ridge Brewing in Greenville, South Carolina. And then Foothills Brewing was established in 2005 by the team from Blue Ridge Brewing Company. And it was originally, it still is, a 15-barrel brew pub. And it opened on St. Paddy's Day. So T.L. Addison, if my memory serves me correctly, he's their head brewer. He was the head brewer for Ham's Brew Pub up in Greenville before they shut down.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, they had some great beer.
I just remember him as just go by TL. I don't even know what TL stands for, but I just remember always calling him TL or whatever. And yeah, so he's their head brewer over there. And the brew pub, the building that the brew pub is, it's in downtown Winston-Salem and on that street. The building dates from around the 1928 and was originally a car dealership. And during that time, when they first opened up that first year in 2005, they had an annual production of 800 beer barrels. And then to compare and contrast that to today, in 2010, they opened the second package brewery with a capacity of approximately about 30,000 beer barrels. And that the brew pub at that time was pushing, I think, between 10 to 12,000 beer barrels. And that building was used previously as an envelope factory, I think it was. And they retrofitted it with brewing equipment. And so just to give you an idea of where Foothills is in the world of beer, in 2013, they cracked the top 10 for craft beer and package sold in volume, which is their Hoppium IPA. I don't know if you've had that.
Oh, I love their I love their branding of their beers.
Yeah, they do a great job. Yeah. And Jamie's very instrumental in doing the branding for the brand. And then, currently they're a multi-million dollar company. They are. I've heard little rumors of what, when they went from self-distribution to full distribution, you know, what Jamie sold the rights for or whatever. But I believe they're approaching around 40,000 beer barrels a year. And the cool thing is in 2015, they just bought some more land next to the package brewery. And they're going to make it like a destination, like with bocce ball courts and stuff like that.
Are they going to put in a beer pipeline?
I don't know if they're going to put in a beer pipeline.
We talked about that last week.
But I figured we put our names in there to clean the pipes, the pipeline, if they need it.
Well, if they need maintenance, we'll gladly drink any leaks.
Definitely. But have you ever had their Russian Imperial Stout, their sexual chocolate?
I have not had their sexual chocolate. It's every time I've gone to buy a bottle, people just steal them off the shelves. They just grab them.
It's crazy.
It's a hot commodity.
It's a great beer. But
I've had their Hoppium. I've had their People's Porter. I think I've had a handful, about five of their beers.
Yeah.
And I think this will be six.
So if you're looking for the brand, they're currently distributed statewide in North Carolina, Virginia, D.C., South Carolina, and I believe Eastern Tennessee, not the full state of Tennessee. And if you want more information, just hit up foothillsbrewing.com.
Check them out. Great beer. And keep your seats. We've got our awesome Heroes Never Die tribute coming up.
Furry type.
Okay. Beer Army Radio. Hey, if you like what you're hearing here on Beer Army Engaged, why don't you be a part of it and become a Beer Army Super Soldier?
Hit up patreon.com/beerarmy and pledge today.
There are a number of levels at which you can pledge, and that way you can be a part of Beer Army.
That's right. For as little as $1 a month, we're talking about less than 25 cents an episode, you can become a part of Beer Army by being a Super Soldier. That helps us to offset the production costs of this program, and you enable us to raise money for charity.
It's a great thing to be a part of. We encourage you to do it. Hit it up. It's patreon.com/beerarmy.
That's Patreon, patreon.com/beerarmy.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org.
Hey, Dustin, where do I get a Family Guy t-shirt?
Is that Cleveland or is that Mick?
Oh, it's Mick. I just sound like Cleveland.
Go over to TVMovieDepot.com and get clothing from all your favorite TV shows and movies.
Don't forget, it's the promo code BEERARMY. That'll get you 20% off.
That's TVMovieDepot.com.
It's Mick Dagger and the General on Beer Army Engaged.
Oh, it's that time. Great story to share. It's that part of the program where we highlight something in this everyday thing called life, where you never know who's going to step in the gap.
This week, we have heroic dog saves his family during a home invasion.
And
this
is a dog, a furry. Nice.
So out of Channel 17 ABC News affiliate from Rockford, Illinois, WTVO, the heroic dog was a four-year-old pit bull, and his name is Cow.
Cow or Cow?
Cow, as in C-O-W.
As in moo.
Moo. But he doesn't look like a cow.
Yeah, pit bulls get a bad rap.
They do, and that's what I thought was very interesting about this article, that it seems like you're always hearing something about them doing something negative.
Yeah,
And so I thought this was really great. But here, you got to give it a listen.
All right.
Sharon's daughter-in-law rushed home after hearing what happened. That's when she saw Cal on the floor.
Blood was gushing out of his chest like a faucet, and I thought our dog was dying.
Oh my God.
Luckily, the bullet missed his heart, and he survived.
He means a lot to me, and he's our hero.
Wow, what happened? He got shot.
Yeah, so basically what was happening was the grandmother was watching these two children, and she heard a knock on the door. So she goes back to, you know, see what's going on, right. And there's an armed home invader, gunman, with a gun to her face, and backs her kind of up, and, you know, like, turns around, and then Cal, he's barking his balls off whatever, because he's like, hey, this ain't supposed to happen. So she's got herself, the dog's behind her, and of course, the children are in the next room, and, you know, so, like, any maternal instinct, you know, the... You know, my mom would take, you know, she would give her life in a heartbeat to protect me or whatever. And yeah. I'm sure yours, and whose mom wouldn't, you know? And so that she backed up another gunman, and they turned around, and he has a gun to her back now. And so the dog is like just barking insatiously. And so, of course, they're kind of like backing up a little bit because they see it's a pit bull, sounds like. And so they're like, hey, you need to get rid of the dog or whatever. So I guess Cal moved over to the side just enough for her to kind of like get by. And as soon as she got by, he went apeshit.
Oh,
and then
wow.
She ran to the room, got the two children, ran to the neighbors. And that's when she heard the gunshot go off. And so he took it right to the chest. And the video, and we'll link it here for those that are listening that could check it out and see this video clip, literally caught him like right in, looks like in the, you know, in the throat area, just above the chest bone.
Right.
But right below the throat, and just... crazy. So
wow,
yeah, it's amazing. Just amazing how protective, you know, even when we come into the studio and I got Lenny here, you know, Deucamine the crotch or whatever, I got beef jerky or something,
Awesome soft coated Wheaton terrier.
But no, they're just, it's amazing how intuitive animals are. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes people want to say, you know, animals are dumb or something, or they don't have feelings, but I don't buy that for one second. Not at all. So
I think they're more attuned to energy and emotions than people give them credit for.
Yeah. I'm assuming that Lenny, well, is Lenny your first pet or animal or?
He's my first dog.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I've had a, well, I had a, wow, this is crazy. I had a previous relationship years ago this girl I was with years and years ago, she saved cats, and I, when the relationship ended, I got attached to two of the cats. So
you became Catman.
I was Catman for a little while, yeah.
You had more than two cats, I bet.
No, well, it ended up being three, yeah. One of them lost her eye, and she attached herself to me. Sweet little thing. Called her Dingo.
Dingo?
But I couldn't have pets growing up.
No?
I couldn't.
Why not?
Because my brother was allergic to everything. Horrible allergies, bad asthma. So we couldn't have pets.
So no hamsters, no goldfish, no...
We tried to have a fish, but the mildew from the fish tank affected his allergies,
wow.
So couldn't have that. We tried to have a parakeet, which was the first pet ever, named Rainy, a cool blue parakeet. Lasted maybe 2 weeks in the house, and then we had to give it to another relative because... My brother couldn't.
Is that the story you told your brother, or is that actually what happened?
No, that's actually what happened.
Okay, just checking.
And my parents had an awesome dog named Walter.
Oh, yeah.
That when my brother was born, he's 2 years older than me, my brother. When my brother was born, you know, turned out he was allergic and they couldn't keep the dog. So my grandma took Walter. So all growing up.
Now, what boat do you fall in? Most people usually fall into cat or a dog.
I'm a dog. I always wanted a dog as growing up, could never have one.
Yeah.
And every time I went to my grandma's, Walter was all over me, loved me to death, hated my brother.
Because, you know, you're allergic, no, you son
of
a bitch.
I've always had a great relationship with dogs.
Yeah, so. Same here. I love dogs. Obviously, our logo for Beer Army.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that.
Is Trigo, our Doberman Pinscher that we had. We had two of them.
If you watch the YouTube videos with the intro with the dog, that's actually Trigo.
Yeah. And it was... we had an artist, Kenny Farmer, who we talked about during episode one, you know, who created the logo that we see today. But we actually had another dog, another Doberman, a red, even though they're brown color, they call him red. And his name was Hershey. And you want to talk about heroic things. When I was gone on my last deployment, my son had a like a PW50 Yamaha dirt bike.
Oh, wow, yeah.
That he would run up and down. We had a long driveway.
Those are fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Until you don't listen to your mother and you almost go drive it right into the, you know, the road that you might get ran over by. Ooh. And she's established boundaries, you know, saying, do not go. We had a creek that went past our, through a driveway that intersected our driveway like halfway down and said, do never go past this. But one day Junior decided he was going to, he was, you know, throttling it going down. And I wasn't there, but Mary was saying that she was like yelling, like, stop, stop, because, you know, cars are going by on the road. And Hershey, like, just took off after Jake. And she said that she was running down the road. Obviously, she can't, you know, keep up to the dirt bike or whatever. But when she got up there, she saw Hershey, like, run and kind of, like, cut him off because he was getting right to the mailbox.
Oh, wow.
And then he slammed on the brakes kind of, like, or, you know, slowed down all of a sudden, you know, enough. And then Hershey kind of, like, trotted into the road and then got hit by a truck, unfortunately.
Oh.
And, you know, I think...
We saved Jake.
I truly believe that. Because our dogs were so protective. They were like extended members of our family.
Yeah.
They really were.
Lenny's that way. Yeah.
And, you know, they weren't, they thought they were lap dogs, but at about 110, 115 pounds each, they weren't really lap dogs. But, you know, just truly, I was really bummed out when I heard it because it was just like, damn, you know.
A hero, it's just, man.
And, you know, and unfortunately, Mary, you know, the guy that, you know, he was so like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't see him. It's like, you know, it wasn't your fault, obviously. And he, Mary told me that he helped her load him into the back of the truck because he was still alive and took him. And then he expired somewhere between there and the, the pound, you know, taking him to the vet or whatever to see if, you know.
He was Doberman too, right?
Right. Yeah, he was a Doberman
too. I had a scary experience with a Doberman when I was 5. And it wasn't Doberman's fault. It was my fault because I was a tiny kid.
Yeah.
And this Doberman was just excited to see me. It was a neighbor, you know, a neighbor's dog, and I went to see a friend.
Did Mick have treats?
And, you know,
or was Mick the treat?
I think I was the treat, or just something to lick. You know, because the dog was happy to see me. I was never around a dog that big. It was the biggest dog I'd been around in that neighborhood. But he jumps up on his hind legs, puts his paws on my shoulders, and he's taller than me.
Right,
because I was like, what, 6? I think it was 6 or 7. And he just starts licking my face. But I am scared to death, thinking the dog is trying to
eat you or
me.
Something.
You know, so I fall on the ground and
it's
I'm
a
like,
mixicle.
Yeah! I'm just like screaming and crying. And this dog's just like nudging me and licking me all over. Never bit me, nothing. Was just playing and liked me.
Wow. Whose dog was it? Was it a neighbor or something? Or?
Yeah, it was a guy that lived 3 houses down. And cool, they were the Mortensons.
Mortensen's.
Yeah. He had a Billy Idol record I wanted to listen to. I needed to hear Rebel Yell.
I gotcha.
Yeah. I needed to man myself up. But I never got to the record to man myself up because a Doberman licked me to death.
And you ended up pissing your pants probably.
Probably. Like I probably did.
No, I love Dobermans. I think they're a great breed. They're
awesome.
They're a working dog. And
they're so loyal. They're so smart and so loyal.
They are. I mean, just, well... I tell you what though, Lenny's pretty damn smart.
Lenny's an awesome dog, and talk about loyal. Lenny seems like harmless, but if he thinks anybody he's loyal to is threatened, he'll bow up and he'll put you in a corner.
And for our listeners, Lenny's the studio dog, so
that's my boy.
If they're wondering who the hell Lenny is, if he's another character we're introducing on the show,
he's an awesome soft coated Wheaton Terrier, big old furry hairy ball of love.
So, no, that's awesome. We really, it's awesome to hear finally for once a good news pit bull story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just kind of want to show that heroes come in all sizes and varieties to include the furry type.
Yeah. And don't believe every stereotype out there.
Definitely.
And give a dog some love.
Give a dog a bone.
Or that too. Well, thanks for sharing that story, Dustin. That's
definitely.
That's badass. I love the Heroes Never Die tribute.
I do
love
too.
That. Well, keep it locked here because we've got we're going from like awesome serious news to we can't believe this stuff is actually happening. Potatoes for contraception. What else do we have? A guy getting stared at for his giant ball.
His extra large testicle.
It was huge. Okay. His swollen testicle.
Huge.
Is it swollen though? I don't know.
It's inflated.
This is in a whole lot more. We've got a lot of crazy stuff to get to.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at beerarmy.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to beerarmy.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
Are you a superhero that's afraid to come out of the closet?
Don't worry, superherodent.com has you covered.
Just put in promo code BEERARMY to get 20% off your order today.
That way you can be a superhero. So get yourself a t-shirt. That's promo code BEERARMY.
So do it now. That's superherodent.com.
Hey, mothers, lock up your daughters.
It's Mick Dagger and the General.
Why hasn't a hipster invented skinny overalls?
Are you kidding me? Just stick your head under the water and breathe.
Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Don't forget, we can always be found here on Beer Army Engaged at beerarmy.org. There's a lot of awesome links there if you want to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube as well. Don't forget Patreon. That is an awesome way for you to be part of Beer Army Engaged. Be a super soldier and help us do great things.
That's right. And if you forget where we're at, just roll over to beerarmy.org, hit the social icons, and it'll take you right to our social media pages.
Oh, and if you're listening on iTunes, please rate and give us a review. That helps us out as well. It helps us get shared out there and possibly even get featured by iTunes, so, which would be a great resource. So if you've taken the time to listen that way, definitely hook us up. And by the way, in a world as screwed up as this, Dustin, awesome, let's yick them to Sue.
Yeah, so this week, Mick, we have from the NBC ABC Channel 8 News affiliate out of Salinas, Kansas? No, California.
Okay, I don't know then.
How about Carmel, California?
Is it Carmel?
Close enough. But we have Thomas Cantley. He's a 31-year-old testicular cancer survivor and a Salinas native. He's pushing. You want to guess what he's pushing here, Mick?
I don't know. He's pushing it good?
He's pushing it
real good.
He is really pushing it good. He's pushing a 6-foot inflatable testicle across the entire country to generate awareness and support for young men's health issues.
Good thing he didn't call it the uniscrote roll.
No. Cantley began his trek in Santa Monica, California, September 4th, and his journey will end here in another week in New York City in early October. So,
Wait a minute. You already said it, but let me get this right. This guy's, he's pushing a giant ball.
Yeah.
A giant testicle.
Yeah. Skin colored. Well, here. Let me give a listen.
Okay.
He's challenging people to be ballsy.
Well, I'd say so.
Salinas native Thomas Cantley is getting some stares for his giant ball.
Who wouldn't
but
stare?
But he likes it that way. Along with his dog and his cameraman, Cantley is pushing a 6-foot inflatable testicle from Santa Monica to New York City.
I love it.
I wanted to kind of create a social experiment. I didn't want to have to connect with people and go and force anything on them.
Other than
and
your ball.
Throughout this process,
and people are saying his ball.
It forces people to come to me, ask me, like, what is this? What's this about? Okay, you know what? It kind of looks like a testicle. You know, something's going on. Trying to figure out what it is. But it creates that conversation.
After being...
creates conversation. And weird looks.
I mean, is it overtly obvious it's a testicle?
No, it looks like one of those...
Because I'd be leery to go up to talk to some guy who's, like, rolling a giant testicle down the road.
No, but it's a skin-colored, like, one of those world balls. It's about 6 foot in diameter, you know. Right. I don't know if you remember from gym class playing, like, world ball or, one of those. But what cracks me up is there's people, as you watch the rest of this clip... Obviously, people continue to sign it because at a later on, like, the whole thing has got, like, signatures and autographs and everything else. So
sure, I'll sign you, testy.
Definitely. But no, I mean, while we're poking fun and stuff like that, testicular cancer. Yeah, definitely. But I thought it was worthy enough to be in Yick 'Em to Sue's segment this week. But if you want to learn more about Cantley's journey or to donate, visit the project's website at ballpush.org. Push it.
Stop laughing at these. This is like a story that never stops giving. He's ballsy.
That's right. And check out his balls.
Great way to get conversation. Whip out your ball.
I'm just glad they had a female journalist covering it.
Yeah. Well, it's better to roll your ball than drag it.
Or bounce it.
Yeah. If it were an old dude, he'd be required to drag his ball.
Dragging him.
For testicular awareness.
But I hear you got some stuff with sweet potatoes on
there. Not sweet potatoes. I don't know. Very well, maybe sweet potatoes. But, this is the end result of what happens when parents don't do a really thorough and informative talk with their kids.
Oh, you mean the birds and the bees?
essentially.
Okay.
And it's not just the birds and the bees have had to get it on. No, it's the talk when it comes to contraception.
Oh, yeah, the banana and the condom thing.
Yeah, because there were workers at a clinic in Colombia.
Okay.
The country of Colombia.
Oh, okay.
If this happened in Colombia, South Carolina, this would be frightening.
I was thinking Columbia, Ohio, but...
But it's still frightening. This didn't happen here in the States, but these workers at this clinic said a woman inserted a potato into her vagina as a means of contraception.
Okay, wait a minute now. A potato.
Potato.
And she inserted it.
You say potato, I say potato. You say tomato, I say vagina. What?
As a contraception
device.
And so there was supposed to be room still left over to do the deed?
I don't understand the logic behind it.
Or was it a large woman, like an Amazonian type?
She was a 22-year-old woman. She came into the clinic complaining of severe pain in her lower abdomen. And a nurse there said she was shocked to discover roots coming out of her vagina.
Shut up. Roots.
Yeah. The spud grew roots inside her.
O-M-G.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, this story is a compliment of, as I pull it up here, I'm just reading my synopsis of it, but the story is compliments of ColumbiaReports.co.
So it's real.
Yeah, it's real.
Isn't that satire?
No, it's not satire. Wow. But here's the crazy thing. The crazy thing with this is that this girl with Spuds McKenzie coming out of her.
Spuds McKenzie.
if I named the potato.
Making some vodka up in there.
No, she's quoted as saying, my mom told me that if I didn't want to get pregnant, I should put a potato up there. And I believed her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a translation barrier or something.
When there's a language gap between mother and daughter,
I'm telling you, there's got to be something. I cannot believe that's what she said. But
you don't ask for contraception advice with a mother who doesn't know how to text or
wow,
whatever. I don't know. It's crazy. But fortunately, according to doctors, they believe she's not going to experience any long term effects from it.
Great. So we don't have to worry about her making French fries or anything else.
Well, this is a girl. If you ever end up dating a girl that thinks potatoes are great contraception. I'd be scared to see potatoes in the pantry.
I'm afraid to find out what she might have.
And I'd be scared to know what she considers the pantry.
Yeah. No, definitely. Well, let's bring it back home in San Fran. I love San Fran. I've never been there. I'm going to make a point to visit one of these days.
How do you know you love it?
Well, because the stories and you know, the more cosmopolitan open mindset and everything.
And the Rice-A-Roni commercials from the 70s and 80s.
Yes, but this
San Francisco
trip. This past weekend, they had the Nude Olympics.
Oh, I like San Francisco now, too.
Yes, but the thing is, they weren't just having the Nude Olympics for the sake of having the Nude Olympics, like you would think. No, they were doing it as a protest.
Were they protesting?
Well, they were protesting because they were trying to show support for the nudist athletes arrested following a recent event in Malaysia, which were having the Nude Olympics as well.
So in Malaysia, there were nude people doing Olympic activities, and they were arrested. So people in San Francisco said, in solidarity, I will strip naked and hold my own Nude Olympics.
Exactly. And according to the United Press International, a San Francisco nudism activist said a series of nude Olympics was held this past Saturday to show support for arrested nudist athletes in Malaysia. And it was a symbolic protest against those arrests. And so some of the events, would you like to guess what some of the events would be?
I'm guessing one of them was the ball push.
No, unfortunately, I think Thomas Cantley's already got that covered.
He does.
And luckily in the video, he wasn't nude. But no, we're going to do sumo wrestling.
Oh.
Javelin
I'm
throwing.
I'm reassessing my statement of loving San Francisco.
Javelin throwing, you know. And get this one. You ready? 50-meter crab walk.
Why didn't they do like... women's like high, what was it, a pole vault? crab walk. Okay,
well, I'm imagining dudes doing the crab walk.
I'm not
junk.
Imagining dudes doing the crab walk.
No, that came out all wrong.
I don't know if it did.
I think that's just an out of context moment, wasn't it? I didn't mean it like that. What I meant, well, God. I didn't mean it. I guess, yeah. I didn't mean
javelin,
it.
By javelin toss, what are you actually saying,
yeah, I was thinking about guys doing the javelin toss. Yeah, awesome. Oh, God. You know what? I'm just going to shut up now about that one. Oh, you got another article over there, Mick? Let's stop talking about this one.
Okay. This one, it's not going to take much to talk about this one. It's just one that you can't believe it's actually real, but you're actually not surprised that it is. So it's one of those one of those topics that has polar opposites that you neither want to believe, but you accept.
It's like it's so crazy to believe, but then it's crazy enough to believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm with you.
Just listen. Everybody pay attention.
Okay.
Lend me your ears. The Washington Post finds that Congress has been in session only about 40% of the time since 1978.
Only in session.
Yeah, meaning actually working. Or actually not even necessarily working. Actually just sitting in their seats.
Well, we know that Congress has such a high approval rating. So.
But you may think, well, okay, all right, 40% of the time since 1978. But think about that. That was, what, 37 years ago?
Yeah.
Right? So how does that translate? 40% of the time since 1978, 37 years ago.
Well, we have to adjust for inflation, so.
It's not a monetary figure. What the breakdown is they've barely worked a full week in 37 years.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wish I could say I was shocked. But I'm not shocked.
That's the thing, is like, you see and you're like, what? And then you're like, I'm not surprised, but what? Oh, well, okay.
But,
why?
But,
I mean,
what do we do? We keep freaking voting these freaking jack wagons in over and freaking over and over again. Freaking career politicians, as if that shit was meant to happen in this country. That's not what the intent of our founding fathers was, not to have some asshole serve 30, 40 freaking years.
Yeah.
It's just...
Career politics is the demise of a true democracy. But we're not a true democracy.
I just wish we had term limits and...
we should.
All that crap.
The only thing I can say here is the longest period both chambers remained in session was 13 days.
2 weeks, huh?
Yeah.
The 2 week full court press.
Yeah. But in the past 37 years, Congress has barely worked a full week.
Sad, sad.
But as for the House, I mean the Senate, I'm sorry, that is the House, Congress. No, that's it. That's all I needed to share. That's it.
It's depressing enough. I don't want you to share anymore.
It's depressing, and the more I read into it, the less I like it. But it's like I should be shocked and surprised, but I'm not.
Thanks so much, Mick. We had a great show going. We're coming to the end, and you just buzzkilled the whole damn thing.
You still have beer left.
I do. I'm going to take my beer and go.
Launder it! Sorry to bring some reality into the situation.
Let's go back to pushing some balls. No. Congress is a ball. It's like a freaking dung beetle pushing a dung ball.
I might as well push my ball down the road.
Oh, man.
Oh. Well, that's going to do it for us. Don't forget, beerarmy.org is where you need to go. Everything you need. There's great information and resources there, not only on the podcast, but on ways you can be a part of it. And help us offset the cost of the podcast and generate scholarships for deserving youth.
Awesome.
Great resource. Check it out there. That can be linked to at patreon.com/beerarmy or right from beerarmy.org. There's great ways you can get your hands on some awesome t-shirts at 20% off. Check out the website there. And make sure you catch us next week. We'll be back. We'll have another beer we'll be talking about, more heroes to share their stories, and more insanity from life right here.
See ya.
Beer Army Radio.